you producing outside is the most bougie thing I think has ever
happened
on this program.
No, it's not. How? How is it? It's a
beautiful
bougie?
Day. I get it. I get it.
It is a beautiful day. Look
ooh,
at these.
Look
these,
at. Ooh, look at me.
That, no, no.
I live ooh. In Corinth.
No, 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 no.
I'm V&A. I have a backyard. Ooh.
So do you.
Tevin Stepp, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Stepp, Matt Stepp.
Thank you for being Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or not and enjoying us on a Wednesday.
Wednesday? What? What? What is this Wednesday?
That's right. We're gonna
Free Wednesday doesn't have the vibe that Free Friday has.
Yeah, Free Wednesday is a real, real interesting choice, but we want to make sure we get it out for
it's
you folks
week.
Because it's a very special week. It's Thanksgiving week, mm-hmm. best week of the year.
I was going to say it's my birthday week, but
it's also Matt Steph's birthday week.
Yes, yes, very special turning. Week.
If you're watching online, you can't hear her because she's muted. But let's say hello. Let's see if I can point. Get this thing going. Oh my gosh, I got to get it right. To Tiny V&A Moreno, right?
He's back. Yeah. Right Tiny there. V&A's back.
Right there. Right there.
Welcome. Right there. Welcome back, Tiny V&A.
I can't get
glad
it right.
To be back, guys. We will get a full view of V&A.
Yes.
Yes.
She will be here to make sure.
No yawning.
She keeps
no yawning.
Us, yeah, no yawning. The people,
no yawning.
The people,
I'm not yawning.
The people definitely noticed that last time we did a remote one. We're doing this because we're recording this on Sunday. By the time you guys listen to it, I may, in fact, be on the road to St. Louis driving my...
If you're a subscriber, tomorrow, you might get it tonight. And you'll be on the road or tomorrow morning.
But anyway, we do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, we're going to... I'm going to ask Matt Stepp on each bracket to give us his level of chaos in each of the 12 or each of the 10 UIL 11 man brackets after another wild week of games. But first, Matthew, we will start as we always do with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented by Community Coffee. Nothing goes with Thanksgiving quite like Community Coffee. Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at Community Coffee.com. Make sure you go.
Nothing will go better to prevent the itis after a big Thanksgiving meal than a nice cup of Community Coffee. Get you back rolling for the Thursday night football games that are going to be taking place.
The itis is a big concern and you got to make sure you don't
prevents the itis. That's their new slogan right there.
It absolutely prevents the itis.
Make the check payable to cash Community Coffee. Jeez. Right there. So that's me.
So Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week is one that I have not quite looked up yet. I want to make sure I get this right. But Matt Stepp, my question for you, in the regional semifinal round of the Texas high school football playoffs, how many matchups of unbeatens will we have this week? How many matchups of unbeaten teams of the 88 games across the state of Texas, how many are matchups of unbeatens?
Oh, I don't know six man, so I'm not sure there. I'm going to say...
I'll say this. If you guess on the 80-11 man games and get it right, you'll get certainly
credit. I mean, at least partial credit. Is it just two?
The answer, Matt Stepp, is three, and they're all 11-man games.
Okay.
All three of them. Your undefeated, your matchups of unbeatens.
North
which
Crowley
you
and
know?
Cuphill. North Crowley and Cuphill.
Sure. Correct. That's
of
one.
Course, we had to know that, right?
Yes, of course.
Jefferson and Malakoff.
Jefferson and Malakoff.
Can't remember the third one.
There's one that's flying way under the radar.
Sunray and Post.
Sunray and Post. Post might be. Are they the quietest 12-0 team in the state?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, they are rolling along. Are the Antelopes? But a big game this week against Sunray. There it is. Your Texas High School Fun Fact of the Week. As we roll into Thanksgiving week, we have three matchups of unbeatens. All right. Let's take a look back at the area round. And the calamitous result of an area round. What's so amazing, I think, about the area round as I kind of take a step back and think about it, it's not just the upsets that happened, but there was a... If you were to take halftime scores, if you were to go there, we had a wild week. We were about four or five rallies away from like perhaps the most calamitous week in Texas high school football playoff history.
So I have a funny story to share about that. Yep. So as I am getting settled into the press box at Shotwell Stadium Friday night for Walnut Grove and Lubbock Cooper, I get a phone call. Okay. From Claude Mathis at DeSoto. And he goes, hey, he goes, is somebody messing with the app? And I'm like, what do you mean, coach? And he's like, well, it says friendship is up 21-7 on South Lake Carroll. Is somebody screwing with the app? And I was like, nah, coach, that's real. I was like, he goes, oh. Okay.
And Mathis, by the way, is definitely he's in the sicko category of like he's tracking these games. Like he's
especially in his division, you know, he's
locked in.
He was out scouting Friday night, so because they played on Thursday, so he had Friday night to go scout. And I guess he saw that score and thought somebody was. Which sometimes kids get in the app and mess around, and we have to correct it. But yeah, that was an accurate score. So that was the start of the night. So it just kind of gives you an idea of how crazy Friday night especially was.
It did, and but there were. There are now regions of brackets that are unrecognizable. Like they are just like you get the four teams. We're at the point where it's like, hey, here are the four teams. One of these teams playing the state semifinal, and you're like, what?
And really? I think a lot of the chaos centers around Class 4A.
Mm-hmm.
So starting Thursday night, 4A chaos started Thursday. So yeah, a lot of chaos.
Here's what I want to do. I want to talk about each bracket, and through 2 weeks, I want you to give us a measurement of chaos level. Is it chaos level one, which is like, nothing. It's pretty chalky, right? I think isn't DEFCON works that you got to go down, right? Like if it's DEFCON one, it's like the world is ending. I think that's how it works. We'll go the opposite way. I'm confusing myself. If it is chaos level one, chalky, nothing to see here. If it is chaos level five, everything is on fire and dogs and cats are living together. Okay. So we'll go through the brackets. First off, 6A Division One, where's your chaos level?
One. It's pretty chalky. Yeah. Pretty chalky.
I would say that is probably the chalkiest, perhaps the chalkiest bracket. Because even the chaos we'll talk about in 6A. 6A Division 2.
I would go at a 2. There's a little bit of chaos there in 6A D2, especially, you know, teams like, you know, Region 3, I think, with Strake Jesuit and Kingwood playing. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, I think Longview and Klein Collins is probably not a game that anyone saw coming in Round 3.
And there was a lot of residual chaos from the bye district. 6A D2 got turned upside down in bye district a lot more than 6A D1. All right, what about 5A D1? Where's your chaos level in 5A D1?
Pretty chalky. I'd say it's a 1. I don't see any real just stunners getting. I mean, there's some great games, but I wouldn't say anything just you know, chaos level 1. I didn't see anything that just blows me away.
5A Division 2.
It's pretty chalky in 5A D2 also. I mean, it's...
Yeah, again, I think what happened in 5A D2 is that there were some upsets in bye district, and then those kind of got cleaned up in the area around.
Yeah, it's Region 4's got a little bit of you know, Victoria West is kind of a mystery guess, but Regions 2 and 3 are pretty, and 1 are pretty chalk. Yeah.
4A Division 1, Matthew.
We're going to go Chaos Level 3 here. Definitely some chaos, especially in Region 3. I don't think anyone had Navasota and Stafford getting to the regional semifinals. And then you go down to Region 4. Didn't have Lavernia and Port Lavaca Calhoun on my dance card, especially considering Lavernia. And Lavernia knocking off Austin LBJ and getting kind of overshadowed by Lavernia's win over LBJ. Port Lavaca Calhoun with a stunner over San Antonio Davenport, last year's regional champion. So definitely some chaos in 4A D1.
I would even include, how about Aubrey? A fourth place Aubrey team is playing in a regional semifinal. You've got a third place Navasota team playing in there. You've got a third place Lavernia team. It's been a little chaos.
Chapel Hill is a third place team. I mean, they're not. Yeah. They played for a state championship last year, but they finished third in district. So
the other thing about that is Thursday night, LBJ gets knocked out by Lavernia, and all of us are like gasping. And then it's like, okay, well, boy, that's Davenport's to lose now. And then Calhoun
is Friday night. Yeah,
I know. Pretty well. 4A Division 2, Matthew.
We're gonna go Chaos Level 5 This is just. I mean, we have a whole region of chaos in Region 3 where don't think anyone had Sealy, Gatesville, Silsby in the – maybe La Vega. La Vega is the one that we kind of thought would be there, but the other three?
Yeah.
Did not have Silsby minus Draylen Miller beating Belleville 41-17 last week. That was an absolute shocker. In Region 2, we have the defending state champion Gilmer Buckeyes going down. In shocking fashion. Don't think we had Van and Sunnyvale playing in a regional semifinal. And then how about 4th ISD's own Bembrook Bobcats?
Unbelievable.
Getting to the third round of the playoffs. So 4A Division 2 is absolute chaos. I would go Chaos Level 5 here. This is probably the craziest division bracket we have right now.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and region that Region 3 is upside down. All right, 3A Division 1. There's a little bit of chaos. There's some party crashers here.
Yeah, I would say Vernon in Region 1. I would say Region 2, pretty chalky. I think those matchups are unbelievable in Region 2.
Oh, yeah.
How about Yoakum, third place Yoakum making a run? And then how about the Rohawks of Universal City Randolph? So give me Chaos Level 3 in 3A Division 1.
3A Division 2. I mentioned this. We recorded TFT today for Monday's publication. Woodville over Grantsling. Did you know Woodville's in the third round of the playoffs for the first time ever?
Yeah, no, I did not know it was the first time ever. No.
Ever. They've been playing since the 20s.
How about fourth place Van Vleck continuing their Cinderella run? We get a little Matagorda County Madness on Friday night with in Bay City with Van Vleck and Tidehaven.
And by the way, and speaking of near misses, boy, Blue Ridge had Holiday in the blender. They had them in the blender. Holiday found a way through, but like that was a near miss.
How about Dangerfield knocking off undefeated New Diana? That was fun. So yeah, Newton throwing up an 84 spot very casually on Edgewood. So yeah, there's some chaos in 3A D2.
2A Division 1. You do have a fourth place team in a regional semifinal in Cisco.
Yeah, I believe Joaquin is also in a regional semifinal. So yeah, I would say Chaos Level 2 here. Most of your contenders are still going at it, and so we've got a couple of mystery guests here. But I think for the most part, we've had a lot of form holding. The big dogs are still the big dogs in 2AD1.
Shout out Kearns, by the way. Kearns, big win over Tioga, really impressive. And then 2A Division 2, Matthew.
I think you got to go, I would say, Chaos Level 3 here. Teams like Mart and Falls City going down the second round of the playoffs, pretty surprising. Mart, obviously, we had some concerns going in. And then, you know, Lovelady, that was my regional pick, and they got beat too. So I'd say Chaos Level 2, maybe 2.5 here. Definitely some chaos in 2A Division 2 as well.
All in Region 3, you have a third-place Grapeland, a second place Overton, a second place Bremond, and a fourth place Mount Enterprise. Did you see how Mount Enterprise won?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay. You'll have to watch TFT on Monday. Mount Enterprise. I want you to hear what I'm saying. All right. Mount Enterprise threw a 76-yard game-winning Hail Mary.
Okay. 76 yards?
Mount Enterprise, on their 10th pass attempt of the season, threw a 76-yard Hail Mary.
Hell yeah.
To beat Wortham. Yes.
Sounds efficient.
Awesome. Anyway, there it is. And by the way, if you are interested, just for the sake of completion here, in 1A Division 1, I would say there is a little bit of chaos, probably chaos level 2. Specifically, Borden County has now beaten Buena Vista and Happy in consecutive weeks. They get a rematch with Whiteface in the regional semifinals, mm-hmm. Or regional final, rather. And then in 1A Division 2, I would say it's pretty chalky. In fact, Iredell, everyone here is a district champion. That is correct. Yes.
I just think it's awesome that there's a school called Happy.
Yeah, but they were not happy.
They're the Cowboys, but would it be cooler if they had a helmet with just the yellow circle with the happy face on their helmet, on the side of their helmet?
I would buy that. I would buy that hat. You would buy that hat. You would wear the happy face emoji.
I'd wear it backwards all the time. My new favorite hat.
All right, Matthew, it is now time for our regional semifinal game draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Normally, we're in a studio together.
We usually are, yes.
But V&A's in her backyard. Step is at AT&T Stadium, and I am parts unknown. So if you're the first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Step and I go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. The bid's probably old at this point because there's only 88 games.
Yeah.
But, like, hypothetically, this week you could choose
Somerville and Junction.
You could choose Somerville and Junction. Actually, a great game.
Yeah.
Like, kind of an interesting game.
11-1 versus 11-1.
You could. If you want to, all you got to do is sell us on it. We'll go 5 rounds back and forth. Then we will hear where Step is going this week, what his holiday plans include, and then we will round it all out with our with finding out what V&A wrote down on her little
notepad. She's got the notepad out.
All right. Excuse me. I had a coin flip for a show. I won the coin flip.
Which means
I get pick 1-1 this week. And Matt Sepp, I probably don't need to tell you guys this. These games are all pretty awesome. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's probably only of the 88, and even if you just limit to the 86 main or 11 main games, there are probably 8 that I'm like not all that interested in. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a great slate of games.
I mean, Black Friday is the best, among the best football days of the year, because we're going to start games at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
We're going until 10:30 at night. I mean,
it's great.
It's going to be great.
So. I'm going to be on the road and I'm going to be like locking into like radio feeds, like on my drive home from St. Louis. But anyway, Matt Stepp, my first pick. Pick 1-1 of the regional semifinal draft. We are going to go 7 o'clock Friday night in Natchitoches, Louisiana.
What?
At Turpin Stadium on the campus of Northwestern State.
Home of the Demons.
Yes, this is a Texas high school football regional semifinal game being played in Louisiana. As the 12-0 Texas High Tigers take on the, was it 10-2 Portage Grizz Indians or 11-1? I have that here.
11-1.
Yes, Portage Grove's Indians in a game that it's too big for Texas to hold. They had to.
That's yeah. They had to export it to the boot.
Export it to the boot. Yeah. 5A Division 2, Region 2, we've talked a lot about as like the pending, everyone thinks we're going to get South Oak Cliff and Port Neches Groves. South Oak Cliff, Port Neches Groves. And we still might, to be clear. South Oak Cliff looked really good last week against Huntsville.
Defensively, they were outstanding. They took a freshman quarterback and put him in the figure four.
They did. They locked him in. They made him tap.
Yes.
They looked great. They got a tough test against Marshall this week, but I think they're probably going to be small but clear favorites to make it to the regional final. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I'd say a 10 to 14 point favorite over Marshall minimum.
Yeah, Marshall can absolutely do it. This is the one that's got my attention. Now, Port Neches Groves looked really good last week against Kauffman.
Sure.
I thought they looked complete. And by the way, don't look at that final score.
No, it was...
Game was 42-0.
It was 42-0 in the second quarter before...
it was abandoned ship.
Kind of called off the dogs.
Yeah. It was abandoned ship. And Kauffman put some window dressing on that bad boy. They looked great.
True.
Yeah. Tyson Hendry, Mason Wunschel, quarterback Connor Bailey's looking great. But more importantly to me, when I think of PNG, the defense was relentless. And they were really, really good against Kauffman.
They looked as good as they've looked all year.
Yeah. That might have been... You can convince me that's their most complete performance of the year.
Yeah, they made Kauffman look like... Kauffman's not a bad football team, nope. And they made them look like a bad football team.
Yeah, they did. Well, here comes a good football team.
Oh, and really, really good football team.
The Texas High Tigers, who are undefeated. They have rolled pretty much everybody with the exception of they had one minor hiccup earlier in the year when they played Marshall. Still playing, by the way. And they won that game 43-42. Aside from that, they have been basically not just perfect, but like almost untouchable.
Yeah, they have one other close game against Fayetteville, Arkansas, who is a Arkansas powerhouse at 7A, led by former Allen quarterback Casey Dick. Allen and Arkansas quarterback is the head coach there at Fayetteville. And Fayetteville is a 6A size school, like they're 2,800 kids at Texas High, went on the road and beat Fayetteville.
Fayetteville, for what it's worth, just lost in the playoffs. I don't know anything about the Arkansas playoffs, but they just lost 39-32 to Pulaski Academy, which is that the team that at least used to never punt.
Yeah, never punt and always onside kick. Yeah.
Yes. But Texas High is, we might be approaching juggernaut status.
They're a flamethrower on offense.
Offensively.
That's another score. That 58-28 score over Crandall, it was 51-7 third quarter.
This is the number 8 scoring offense in 5A Division II. They have scored 600 points this year, a very clean 600 points in 12 games. And which, by the way, if you do that math, that's 50 points a game. And Tredarian Ball is great. Tredarian Ball is the headliner here. Bro, David Potter, their quarterback.
He's playing out of his mind.
You could convince me he's their best offensive weapon. Like, this is a team that has Tredarian Ball, and there's a chance their quarterback's better.
He's been playing great. And they've got all kinds of weapons on the outside. They've got a really good offensive line. Look what they've done the first 2 weeks of the playoffs. They're just putting up points in bunches.
Their defense, for the most part, has been good. They have been touched up at times, but for the most part, it's been good. Guys like Isaiah Dowden leading the way defensively. This is all, I mean, the show-stopping matchup here and why you traveled to Natchitoches to watch this game is when Texas High is the ball. I also worry for PNG, if this game gets into the 30s, I am not real sure they are built that way. They have gotten into some shootouts, but they are not built to go score for score with teams. The lower scoring game here benefits PNG. PNG's defense to win this ball game has to be the dominant force in this game. They have to slow this Texas High team down. I think Texas High is going to beat them. I think Texas High, the weaponry they have, to me, like, I actually think Texas High feels like a souped-up Bastrop. And Bastrop, of course, or not Bastrop, they feel like the kind of team that can beat you in a variety of different ways.
Kind of a souped-up version of Huntsville.
Yeah, kind of a souped-up version of Huntsville. Yeah. And Huntsville put them in hell in that game. I will say this, though. If you are Texas High, your concern is that historically, at moments like this, this program has tended to lay an egg. That's the thing. This is almost PNG's biggest advantage here is a culture advantage. That they go into this game believing, yeah, we're going to win this game. And yeah. Texas High doesn't have a great history of winning these big high-profile games.
Yeah, I think since their state championship season back in 2001, I believe, they went to the state semifinals the next year and were favored and got upset by North Crowley. And since then, I don't think they've been past the fourth round. So it's been a while for Texas High, and this is, might be their best shot since then to get it home. One thing, if you're going to Natchitoches, get yourself some Natchitoches meat pies. Meat pies in Natchitoches. Trust me.
I don't always ask for your pick, but who are you taking in this game?
Texas High. I think this is the time for them.
I think it is too. But I'm telling you, you pick against Jeff Jobe. Jeff Jobe's gonna have something for him. I'll say that.
They will be ready to go.
They will not go out there. I will say this. I know one team is not gonna lay an egg. I am 100% positive one team is not gonna lay an egg.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's my first pick, Texas High and PNG. What is your first pick, Matthew?
Let's go 2 o'clock Saturday at Newsom Stadium in Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
A battle of unbeatens as we have the 12-0 North Crowley Panthers taking on the 12-0 Coppell Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Coppell. Mm-hmm. It's a little old scrappy team from Coppell. Just fighting hard.
Pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, trying their best. All out effort.
Yeah, bringing their lunch pail to work. So they take on North Crowley. And this is a fun matchup. This is a game we've kind of looked forward to. I think these might be the two best teams in Region 1. It's just the way the bracket broke that these two are playing in the third round. And for North Crowley, I think last week was business as usual. Second straight home game in the playoffs, and Odessa Permian made the 5-hour trip to Fort Worth and got sent home very rudely with a 72-14 loss as a North Crowley led 49-0 at halftime and cruised. Did
I read that that was Permian's worst playoff loss ever?
In school history, worst playoff loss ever.
Holy cow.
It was unbelievable as Chris Jimerson threw 5 touchdowns. 4 to Quentin Gibson's got 30 touchdowns on the year now. He is approaching setting a record. He's been unbelievable. We need to talk about Cornelius Warren and Daniel Bray, the two Division I commits at running back. It's a loaded North Crowley. I don't know how you stop the North Crowley offense. I think you really only hope to slow them down or maybe hope they get in their own way a little bit. Just an impressive performance. But they're going to get tested. This Coppell is going to be their biggest test since probably playing Geyer in week 3 early in the year. And Coppell got pushed in round 1 by Prosper, bounced back nicely with a solid 38-10 win over Lake Highlands. Edward Griffin, just another day at the office, 16-20, 232 yards and 2 touchdowns, very efficient. Coppell's defense, that's the key. They held Lake Highlands to 155 yards of offense, probably their best defensive effort of the year. Mm-hmm. They're going to need to duplicate that and then some this week if they want to keep up with North Crowley. I think the key for Coppell, and I know Antonio Wiley, he's a defensive guru. He's going to throw everything in the kitchen sink there at North Crowley. I think the key here is Chris Jimerson. You have got to keep Chris Jimerson contained in the pocket. If Chris Jimerson gets outside the tackles, he's almost impossible to corral because he's so dynamic as a runner. The receivers improvise really well. They're so well-schooled. You got to keep Jimerson in the pocket and make him a pocket passer. That's your only shot. Mm-hmm. And then try to slow the running game down as much as you can. I mean, that's your best shot. I think Coppell will try to box Jimerson in, make him a pocket passer because he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's not the kind of quarterback who's going to stand in there. He's 5'10". You know, he's not that big. So he wants to get loose and use his legs and throw with open windows. Close those windows down and try to get traffic around them. I guess that's your best hope for your Coppell. Mm-hmm. I think they'll do it to a certain extent for a half, but the problem is North Crowley's offensive line is so good, Jimerson's hard to get to because North Crowley's offensive line is loaded. So I like Coppell to hang in there for a while, but I think North Crowley, pulls away. Maybe a similar game to the Byron Nelson game, maybe a little bit closer, but I think North Crowley pulls away.
VNA's power went out. I'm just going to tattle on her.
Oh, I was texting with her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys keep recording? Everything's good? Nothing?
Everything's good. We're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, amazing. Good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. I
was wondering where you went.
Yeah. We missed you. Steph was telling me all about these terrible things about how Capel's going to lose and how they've got no shot and stuff.
Maybe that's why my power went out.
That might have been it. Maybe it was the negative.
Got disconnected.
The negativity knocked the power out. Yeah. I have thought for a while, right? Look, it's me. Let me even put on my Capel Homer hat. Okay. Got my little Capel Homer hat. I'm a little beanie. It's got the little whale fan on it. I've long thought this is probably the end of the road for Capel. I think Capel, if you were to put a sports gun to my head, I think Capel is about between the 10th and the 15th best team in 6A. Really good team.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance North Crowley might be number one.
There's a good chance. This is a really,
they are
really, really good North Crowley team. Think about Capel before Antonio Wiley got there to where they are today. These are two coaches, both in their third year. And Greg Gates is 26-2. Well, now he's 38-2. He's 38-2 in 3 years. Antonio Wiley is 12-0. Let's see, 25-1.
He's 33-3.
34-3, I believe.
I'm looking 33-3.
9-2, 13. Yeah, I think. Is my math bad? You're right. 33-3.
I didn't even add it.
Math. I went to Everman, so you went to Capel. Yeah. So that's a.
Mrs. Clark
would be so mad at me right now.
I like North Crowley. I'm not sure Capel. The thing about North Crowley is that they just keep coming in waves at you. Mm-hmm. And like
they're so deep. They've got many guys.
You're gonna if you slow them down for a quarter offensively, it just feels like that's almost impossible task for 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Is like to hold that at bay. So I like North Crowley in that one. All right, Matthew, my second pick. Let's go 2:00 Friday, a businessman special on Black Friday.
Heck yeah.
In Longview at Lobo Stadium.
Oh yeah.
As the 10-2 Pleasant Grove Hawks take on the 11-1 Carthage Bulldogs in an East Texas showstopper. I mean,
grudge match.
So good. And these two teams know each other pretty well.
Oh yeah.
They there is no love lost between these two programs.
Yeah.
They know each other very well. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes the winner of this game is playing for significantly meaningful football. Mm-hmm. And they're meeting once again in the playoffs.
And I think the winner of this game will play significantly meaningful football in December.
I tend to think that you're right. Now, I look at this car. Let's talk about Pleasant Grove, and we've talked about them a little bit as I just keep getting real. I guess it would be 2016 vibes. Is that when they won their first title?
2016.
Yeah. Because if you remember back then, they were a year early to that party. All we were talking about heading into that first title game against West Orange Stark was, hey, this is awesome for Pleasant Grove, and they're going to be a real problem next year. Then they just hauled off and won the title.
Yeah.
And this feels like that. This team is too young to be this good. And they are playing with a high degree of confidence. They are rolling right now. They've got playmakers like Nick Bells. They have got outstanding dudes. They've got Lance Jackson, the two-way star, who's a menace.
Pretty much unblockable.
They're rolling right now. The other thing about this is that there's a history. Obviously, if you look at this, it has been Pleasant Grove have been knocked out of the playoffs by Carthage each of the last 2 years. And remember, the week before Gilmer got Carthage, Pleasant Grove feels like they should have gotten Carthage.
Yes. I think last year Pleasant Grove on paper was the favorite in couple calls didn't go their way. Bang, bang plays. Carthage pulled it out. And I think they felt like they got let one get away. Now, I think, not to take anything away from Gilmer, I think Pleasant Grove took such a big chunk out of Carthage last year that Carthage, going into that Gilmer game, just didn't have a lot left in the tank, and Gilmer got him. That's not to say Gilmer didn't deserve to win, but absolutely, I think it was an emotional win for Carthage, and then he had to get up again to play Gilmer, who was emotionally high, and it kind of just worked out in Gilmer's favor. For, you know,
this is not last year's Carthage. This is, we might be back to machine Carthage. We're real close.
I saw it in person last week, and it was pretty impressive.
KJ Edwards is an animal.
He's a menace.
He's unbelievable. The numbers he put up last week on like 14 carries.
No, not something. Even that. It was six carries.
Six carries? Six carries, 149 yards, and four touchdowns.
Yeah, and then he also, just for funsies, had a 64-yard reception.
Between Jet Surratt, between the offensive line.
Yes, Cash Courtney leads it off. He's an Arkansas commit. They got an Arkansas commit on the offensive line. Woo Pig Suey. The defense, DeQuivis Beck at middle linebacker, is unbelievable. Their defensive line is stout.
I think their defense might be better than their offense. Like, I think there's an argument to be made.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's so weird to watch Pleasant Grove in the spread. Like, they're slinging it around. They're not in the wing tee anymore. They are a full spread. They got a kid. The quarterback didn't play football last year. He's a baseball kid.
And yeah,
got him out, and there's it's air raid Josh Gibson over here at Pleasant Grove, which is weird to say.
It is. Somebody with the last name Gibson running, throwing the ball feels sacrilegious almost. Yeah. But to me, okay, the path for me for Pleasant Grove is limiting possessions, and I think they've got to get that running game going. Like, they got to get that going and limit the possessions. I don't think they can get into a shootout with Carthage. No. But I'm also just not sure that Pleasant Grove is going to be able to move the ball all that much on Carthage. I think Carthage is a favorite here.
Style matches up better for Carthage. If Pleasant Grove was kind of in that wing tee, I think it's a tough matchup. I think they're a little more conventional, and that plays into Carthage's hands.
The computer's got Carthage by 7. That feels about right. I think Carthage is a touchdown favorite. And I think they're playing December football. I think the Scott Surratt revenge tour rolls on here.
Yeah, I got Carthage as well. I agree with you on this.
What is your second pick, Matthew?
Well, I love East Texas, and I just decided I'm going to stay out in East Texas. 2:00 Friday afternoon at Rose Stadium in Tyler. Mm-hmm. We have one of the other matchups of undefeated teams as the 12-0 Jefferson Bulldogs take on the 12-0 Malakoff Tigers, who hold the state's longest winning streak. I believe it is up to 28 games in a row now for Jamie Driscoll's squad, and this is going to be one of their biggest tests of the year. I love this Jefferson team, led by first-year head coach Ty Taylor, who came from the aforementioned Texarkana Pleasant Grove. So he's been around some winning programs, and he has gotten Jefferson. Jefferson, for the longest time, had this stigma in East Texas of not being able to get past the second round. Perennial underachievers, can't get past the second round, always falling short. I went to a Jefferson-Malakoff game 5 years ago in Gladewater in the second round of the playoffs. Guess who won? Mm-hmm. Malakoff. So Jefferson, last week's win, not only to beat Grandview, but considering how emphatically they did it after struggling in the first round of the playoffs against Mineola, Jefferson's on a roll now. The second half of the Mineola game, they outscored Mineola 35-0. Then they haul off last week and destroy a good Grandview team 62-18. Cameron Williams, the UNLV commit at running back, had another monster game. Jefferson's throwing the ball well, and their defense, after struggling a little bit against Mineola, put together a virtuoso performance there against the Zebras, and love what Jefferson did last week. Very, very impressive. They're going to have to play their best game of the year to beat Malakoff, though. It's a Malakoff team that's not as deep as they were last year. They don't have the depth they had last year, but they still have Jason Tennyson at running back. They've still got Parker Poteet, the tight end linebacker, two-way star from Malakoff, and they've got the guy at quarterback in Mike Jones.
Mike Jones.
And I'm not going to say who because it's Mike Jones.
It's Mike Jones.
And I would love for the real Mike Jones, well, not the real Mike Jones, the rapper Mike Jones to come to the state championship game if Malakoff is in it, because it'd just be a funny bit. But Malakoff did what you should do. May Pearl was overmatched last week, and Malakoff threw up a 70 burger on him. Mm-hmm. So that's what you do against an overmatched team. They dominated, and not surprised there. I think this game is going to come down to the Jefferson offense. I think Jefferson is more potent than Malakoff, and they got more weapons and more playmakers across the board. I think Malakoff's defense, though, is a little bit better. They're a little more physical. They're better in the trenches. And so I think this is going to be a style matchup here, a pace matchup. I think if this game gets into the high 30s and the 40s, I think it really favors Jefferson. I think if Malakoff keeps it in the 20s, low 30s, edge to Malakoff here. So Greg Tepper, I picked Jefferson to win the region before the playoffs. I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
Give me the Jefferson Bulldogs to knock off Malakoff and end the state's longest winning streak. In a very close game, I'm going to go 42-41. An absolute thriller at Rose Stadium. And then go to Stanley's after the game and get some barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely.
So meat pies in Natchitoches, Stanley's and Tyler.
I respect you sticking with it. I hope you'll respect me giving Malakoff the champion's advantage.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Saying, I mean, it's a pick-em somebody's got to take the belt off him.
Yeah.
You know?
This is a 50-50 game. A blowout on either end would surprise me, but I don't think either team winning would surprise me.
I'm
going to be keeping my eye on this one.
All right. Let me ask you if you'd go this far. Is the winner of this game at AT&T?
Yes. I think the winner of this game plays for a state championship.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think so, too. It's a fabulous game out there out East Texas.
What a week. Friday at 2 o'clock in East Texas. You got Carthage and Pleasant Grove and Malakoff and Jefferson at the same time.
Matt Stepp, my third pick. There are actually only two Saturday night games this week. There's only two. One of them is, I think this is right, let me make sure I got it, is Borden County and Whiteface are playing in Lochnea in a six-man rematch, actually, district rematch. Okay. Fabulous game there. Good game. My draft pick is the other Saturday night game, which is going to be far away from Lochnea and in many ways, is a very different sport.
Are there two more opposite places than Frisco and Lochnea?
7 o'clock Friday.
Let's do a comparison. You know how they do those comparisons at the tail of the tape? You know, you do the tail of the tape of the two fighters?
Frisco v. Lochnea.
Frisco and Lochnea and get a tail of the tape going. You know?
As 7 o'clock Saturday night on FanDuel Sports Southwest at the Star in Frisco with myself and Ashley Pickle on the call.
What?
This will be non-disclosure? It will be.
Who's doing play-by-play?
Me. Okay. It is the...
I want Pickle to do play-by-play.
It is the 12-0 Willis Wildcats. Maybe we'll alternate. 12-0 Willis Wildcats.
During the game.
Taking on the 10-2, two-time defending 6A Division II state champion, DeSoto Eagles.
In a game, you got to beat the man. Woo!
In a game we had circled since the brackets came out. And here it is. And I said this on High School Scoreboard Live. I will say it on Tep and Step. I think the winner of this game is the favorite to win the 6A Division II state championship. I think both these teams are prime time. And the offensive firepower in this game is cataclysmic. Mm-hmm. It is shocking the amount of dudes on the scene. DeSoto, Tiger Wrighton, right? Dalen Singleton, Keldon Ryan, Booby Feaster. That's all offense. Mm-hmm. On the other side, You've got Jack Emerson, who I know we just lavished praise on. Unbelievable what he's done. Jermaine Bishop is one of the most talented players in Texas hard stop.
Yeah. Literally the Travis Hunter of Texas high school football. He's unbelievable. Watch the Tom Ball game. He's playing a lot of snaps on both sides of the ball.
He's unbelievable. And then, to me, both these teams can get out and run. Both these offenses are dynamic. And you saw it last week, especially for DeSoto, where they really kind of overpowered a Wiley East team that was good, but just not in their weight class, right?
Ryden ran for 300 yards last week.
Yeah, they rode Tiger Ryden the whole way. He was fantastic. Willis, this is a DeSoto offense that is scoring 55 points a game. This is a Willis offense that is averaging 54 points per game. These are highly explosive offenses. That is why I am looking on the other side, on the defensive side, where you've got a DeSoto defense that has been maligned, and they have, and I want to be clear, part of the reason that they have been maligned is that they gave up 57 points, or they gave up 57 points to North Crowley, and they gave up 30, you know, and then they gave up 42 points to Duncanville. They gave up, you know, 38 to Skyline. Some of that was window dressing, but they have been touched up. I do think this DeSoto defense is better than their numbers will say.
And this, I think Willis, they're playing better as the year has gone along. I think they've gotten better as the year has gone along.
I agree. I agree with that. I think they've grown. Yeah. This Willis defense is giving up 18 points a game. They were touched up by the Woodlands, gave up 42 to the Woodlands. But aside from that, they've more or less kind of squashed everybody they've played. I think this, for DeSoto, this is the best offense they've seen probably since North Crowley or Duncanville. I mean, maybe sure, Duncanville. Yeah. It's you know, your mileage may vary. For Willis, this is the best offense they've seen all year. And that will be on display here. I think on a fast track on a Saturday night, we are in for a fireworks factory. I think you're going to have big plays back and forth. I said before the season, or I said before the playoffs, that I was picking Willis to win state. And mama didn't raise no B. Okay. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say it with my chest. I'm going with Willis. I think there's a good chance I'm wrong. Okay?
I'm more concerned about Willis after last week. They struggle with Tom Ball.
Part of me wonders about the look ahead.
Possibly. They got some breaks there. Yeah. And, you know, the quarterback got hurt for Tom Ball, and there was a controversial interception they got ruled for. Willis got breaks.
Yeah,
but they held on because Tom Ball was driving to win that game. And playoff Tom Ball – We've seen what Tom Ball's done in the playoffs.
They're squirrely.
And Willis held on. So credit to them. I think their defense is a lot better than last year. I think Willis is a better overall team than last year. Mm-hmm. They don't have the dude in DJ Lagway, who's at Florida. Check out what he did Saturday. But their offensive and defensive lines are better. Their entire defense is better. And I think they could run the ball a little bit better. And then they got Jermaine Bishop. Jermaine Bishop had two touchdown catches last week. And then if you pay too much attention to Jermaine Bishop, Jalen Mickens can hurt you. Willis has got weapons. I think it's a closer game than last year. I think DeSoto won by 31 or 32 last year.
They ran away with it.
I think we could see it be 14 to 17 points, but I think DeSoto, to me, is still, you know, they get the edge here. As Willis didn't instill a lot of confidence in me last week.
That is fair. All that makes sense to me. And also, I'm going to pick Willis. Because I'm just taking a shot. This would be an upset for sure. But I think Willis is built in a way that they can give DeSoto problems that this year we have seen them have problems with, right? Big time pass catch combo, right? They've had problems defending that. That is going to be something that I'm going to be keeping my eye on. Fabulous game. Last game of the weekend. Going to be awesome. So great. I'm excited. All right. What is your third pick, Matthew?
I can't believe that we've gone through five games. We haven't picked this game. This shows you how good of a week it is. And what a week in the Houston area it is. Banger after banger in H-Town. H-Town, hold it down. We got Friday, 2 o'clock at NRG Stadium, It's Katie. It's North Shore. It's big boy football in front of a huge crowd. They're expected 20,000 plus at this one. It is going to be a whole lot of red in the building. Let me tell you, it's going to be red out on both
sides. It's the main event. It's a heavyweight main event in Houston.
Yeah, unbelievable. Can you believe these two teams haven't played since 2019 in the playoffs? It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but North Shore, when they beat Katie in the playoffs in 2019, they haven't played since then. So it's been a while since we've had this showdown, and these are the, you know, Katie is the legacy program in Houston, the historical program, and North Shore is the program of record in Houston in the past 6-7 years or so. So fantastic matchup here. You got Katie coming off a 49-20 win over Cy Falls last week, and it was a Katie football game. You had Tremaine Hill, 191 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. Aqualis Jordan, 93 yards rushing and a touchdown. Joshua Smith, 55 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. 3 backs, all over 50 yards. 2 of them, one nearly 200 yards, one nearly 100 yards. It was a Katie virtuoso performance, and their defense gave up a couple of big plays to Cy Falls, but other than that, really contained the Golden Eagles offense. The key here is going to be for Katie limiting North Shore's big plays, because you think Cy Falls has got explosive potential. Well, buddy, let me tell you, there's, other than Duncanville and North Crowley, not an offense in the state with as much big play potential as the North Shore Mustangs. Caleb Bailey came back last week. Apparently, when he didn't play in the second half against Deer Park, he got a little nicked up, and it was more precautionary. They held him out, and they felt good about Caleb Maryland, their backup quarterback, who has D1 offers himself. And Bailey had a great game. He threw a couple of touchdown passes, ran the offense efficiently, and did what he needed to do. Do you know that North Shore last week in their win over Ridgepoint led 30-0 in the second quarter against Ridgepoint? It was 30-0. Like,
no.
Yeah, North Shore just raced out to a big start. Now, Austin Carlisle put on a heroic performance and kind of got a couple of scores back. But it was one of those games where Ridgepoint scored late to make it 44-27. It was never really in doubt. It was kind of always a 3-touchdown edge. DeAndre Hardeman ran for 144 yards and 2 touchdowns. Chris Thomas ran for 93 yards and a touchdown. Bailey threw 3 touchdown passes. 2 went to Deion DeBlanc. Quandell Farrakhan on a 4th and 20 caught a touchdown pass. Just North Shore was doing North Shore stuff. The defense, a little bit shaky, but in the second half, but overall, a pretty strong performance. That North Shore defensive front 7 is going to be tested this week, because Katie's going to run the ball. They're going to try to wear North Shore down, control the clock, and keep the ball away from North Shore. I just don't think Katie's defense in space against the North Shore athletes can keep up. I think Katie's going to get theirs, but I like North Shore to pull away. I could see a 42-28 kind of game where Katie keeps it close, North Shore gets a couple of big plays and pulls away. Just think the North Shore defense is just too good this year. They're gonna load the box and dare Katie to throw. They're because North Shore, they have a different advantage than most teams have because they have 2 Division I quarterbacks. Their number 2 corner is committed to Arkansas. And then, oh, by the way, the other side, they have the number 1 corner in the country in Devin Sanchez, who's committed to Ohio State. So they're going to man up on those guys. They're going to say, hey, you guys are on the island. You do what you do, and we're gonna load up against the run.
We're gonna put eight in the box and not really worry about it.
Yeah, because we trust our guys on an island. And so that's what makes – that's why it's a tough matchup. So I like North Shore on this one. Katie keeps it competitive. It's going to be a fun atmosphere on 2 o'clock. I believe this game is going to be live on TexanLive.com.
Thank you. She's in her palatial backyard. I should have
said North Crowley and Capel was also live on TexanLive.com. I missed that. That's me. I'm out of sorts because I'm not in the studio. The studio. I'm out of sorts.
We miss each other desperately. Yes. I think you're right. I think the difference here is the North Shore defense. I think that they are actually, again, like you said, the advantage that they have of like not really having to dedicate too many resources in the passing game, which is strange to think, but that's like a huge advantage for them, just because they can be like, all right, like we know where our bread is buttered. We're not going to get beat on these big plays. And that's going to be critical. Fascinating ball game. huge game, huge crowd, big time Texas high school football. It's just good stuff. My fourth pick, Matthew. 7 o'clock. We're going to stay in the Houston area. 7 o'clock Friday night at Randall Reed Stadium in New Caney. Some 3A action as the Franklin Lions, sitting at 9-2, take on the 10-1 Hitchcock Bulldogs in the game before the game, like a qualifying. This is a qualifier. Likely respect to Yoakum, but likely to face Columbus in a regional final.
Columbus passed their big test last week. Boy, did they ever pass it! Oof.
They did. And now these two teams get their opportunity to pass their test. I've said this before, but Franklin is the most under the radar team in Texas high school football. Compared to what they are and what they've done, for a team to be in four consecutive state championship games and be the third most notable team in their own region is saying something.
And I think Franklin loves it that way. They're like, oh, this is great. Don't talk about us. We're just little old Franklin over here.
Don't worry about us.
Bubba and Jane Jackson,
Jane Jackson, Bubba Jackson, they're doing. But here's the thing about Franklin is that check your watch. It's Franklin o'clock. Because this time of year is when they start doing the thing. And the thing is that running game, Jaden Jackson and Bubba Jackson starts getting churning and the defense, I don't know what it is, but the defense, like week 9, they just go like, okay, we're gonna tweak that and turn
the Franklin offense is like Novocaine. Just give it time, it's gonna work.
It's gonna work. And it is. It's working in a big way. Noah Tart on the defense has been great. They got in a weird game with Dieball, and Dieball kind of hung with them, but they made the plays they needed to. Shout out Dieball. It's a good Dieball team. It's an underrated team.
The mighty Lumberjacks.
Here's Hitchcock. Hitchcock is 10-1. They're the champions of their district, and we know all about the playmakers that they've got, like Kelshawn Johnson on the outside, the playmakers they've got. They are notably without another playmaker. Lloyd Jones III is done for the year. That's something that's been now reported. We can confirm he's done for the year, a knee injury. Suffered, I believe, in the Columbus game. They've turned to Marquise Allen, the backup quarterback, and he has been solid. Rock solid, distributing the football. And last week against an overmatched TIG squad, no problems. 56-14. The offense, actually, without Lloyd Jones III, has been pretty good. It's been pretty good. Been running the ball more. Things have been pretty strong. This feels like with a Franklin team, you've got to have all your guys. That's just plain and simple where I'm at. Marquise Allen has been solid. You got to be more than solid to knock off a team that's played in the last four state championship games. I think this is where they miss Lloyd Jones III, especially against this Franklin defense, especially when, for Franklin, the style, the way they play, you need to cash in every possession you've got. And I think this is where that bill comes due for Hitchcock. That, unfortunately, not having Lloyd Jones III is the difference. If Lloyd Jones were healthy, would I feel differently? Yeah, probably. Maybe. But I think right now, Franklin has more of their guys. Franklin's defense has turned it up a notch. And a wounded Hitchcock team, I'm not sure if they're going to have enough playmakers to get over the top. And I think Franklin gets it done. That's kind of where I'm at on it.
I kind of agree with you. I picked Franklin to win the region mainly because champions advantage. And I'll tell you what, the Hitchcock has really caused me to go back and forth on this pick. I'm only sticking with Franklin because I picked them in the pre-playoffs. But if I'm going off the first two rounds of the playoffs, I'm picking Hitchcock. Hitchcock.
I want to. Yeah, I want to be. I want to be clear. I don't think I don't think Hitchcock is doomed without Lloyd Jones III. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, they like. It's not like the Cowboys losing Dak Prescott. Like, it's not like that. But they are. I think that they have a chance, but I think that this is where you're going to miss that extra element in the passing game and in the run game that Lloyd Jones brought. I think you need all hands on deck to beat a team like Franklin. And I think I think Franklin gets the win here. So that's my fourth pick. What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
Let's go 7:30 Friday night. One of my favorite stadiums in Texas, Mesquite Memorial Stadium, as the 10-2 Sulphur Springs Wildcats take on the 12-0 Alvarado Indians in what should be an absolutely fun matchup between two really fun ball clubs. And let's start with Alvarado, who I know Miss V&A Marino got to watch Alvarado in person on Thursday night in one of the games of the year against Fresco Panther Creek, a double overtime thriller. Alvarado rallies with 10 points late to tie it up and send it to overtime and win the game. Their kicker, Isaiah Sanchez, hadn't made a field goal all year and kicked three in clutch situations for Alvarado to win the game. But he's not the story for Alvarado. The guy, the dude, invited to the Dude's Rock Dinner, Cartier Collier.
Let's go to V&A Marino. V&A Marino.
Analysis from V&A.
Will you extend the invitation to the Dude's Rock Dinner to Cartier Collier after seeing him in person?
Of course I will.
All right.
And it was super awesome to go see them in person. And it was actually like my first Texas high school football playoff game for the season. And boy, let me tell you, Pickle looked over at me and she was like, you got lucky. Like,
they're not all like this.
Yeah, they're not all like that.
But we went to the Star. Yeah. And our friend also, Matt Wilson, was there. And he was like, his heart was beating for Alvarado as well. It was a lot of fun. The crowd was awesome. Both sides. Seeing Cartier Collier was dope. It was awesome. Mm-hmm.
He's been awesome all year. I believe he has 66 touchdowns total, rushing and passing combined. And also, DeMarcus Belton had himself a huge game last week for Alvarado at the running back. Also receiving, he caught the ball out of the backfield. Alvarado emptied the bag and came out on top. They put Cartier Collier on defense a few times, and it was one of those games. It was a great playoff game. Panther Creek's probably a lot better than an area round playoff team. It's just how the bracket broke this year. But credit to Alvarado for coming out on top. Huge win for them. Sulphur Springs very quietly put together a really nice performance last week in a dominant win over a really good Springtown ball club. I don't think people realize how good Springtown is, and Sulphur Springs hammered them to the tune of, I believe it was 56-39. Springtown knocked off, Sulphur Springs knocked off. That's a Springtown team that beat Graham. And we know how good Graham is in Division II. And Sulphur Springs just ripped them. Running back Deuce Hall had a big game. Their wide receiver, Skylar Lewis, a Texas State commit, has been outstanding. Sulphur Springs has a big and physical offensive line that can get after it. Little shaky on the back end, and that's why I think this is going to be a track meet. Because I don't know if Alvarado's front, after expending so much energy against Panther Creek last week, you got to come back and go up against that road grading Sulphur Springs offensive line. But at the same token, I don't know if Sulphur Springs in the secondary can keep up with Alvarado and Cartier Collier, Lance Sansom, and DeMarcus Belton, that kind of trio there for the Alvarado Indians. So I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be very similar to last week. I said it last week when Panther Creek and Alvarado played, last team with the ball wins. Well, Alvarado was the last team with the ball. They won. I think last team with the ball wins, and I'm not picking against Cartier Collier right now. Give me the Alvarado Indians to improve to 13-0 and what should be a fireworks factory of a football game Friday night there in Mesquite. If you're in the DFW area Friday night, you need something to do and you want just entertainment value, get your butt over to Mesquite Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, your dollar goes a long way at Mesquite Memorial Stadium on Friday night. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, my fifth and final pick, Matthew, and I cannot believe this is going to be the ninth pick of the draft. 7:00 Friday night at Sand Crab Stadium in Port Lavaca.
Oh, the mighty sand crabs.
As
peace, love, crabs.
As a game that is now, I guess it's probably like a year in the making. A year in the making. A rematch a year in the making. As the Ganado Indians take on the Refurio Bobcats in... There's a lot to break down here. And we have to start with what happened last year. Mm-hmm. If you remember, in the regional final last year, Ganado stunned Refurio, taking a pretty clear and decisive district loss. And then, like 6 weeks later, turning it into a clear and decisive playoff win.
One of the most shocking results of last year's playoff.
I think full stop. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And the nobody believed in us thing is overused and rote, but nobody believed Ganado was going to beat Refurio. Like, not a soul, except for Josh Irvin and maybe the guys in that locker room.
Sure.
That's it. But they went out there and they took it, and it was a coming out party for Ganado. They started the year as the number in a large measure because of that game. They started the year as the number one team in 2A Division I in Dave Campbell's Texas football. They had a loss earlier this year. They lost to who? They lose to?
They lose to East Bernard.
East might have been East Bernard. They lost to they lost to East Bernard. Lost to East Bernard. You know, a 3A team, obviously. Mm-hmm. 3A1 team, I should say. Or 3A2, I'm sorry. They are the 3A team. And they did that. They lost that game without their quarterback, Bryce Sullivan. He didn't play in that game. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that changes the result, but it certainly changes the tenor of that game. Bryce Ullman has been spectacular for them. Last week, they played Crawford. Shout out to Crawford. Pulled a big stunner in the first round of the playoffs. They ran to Ganado, and Ganado treated them unkindly.
Yeah,
it was that game was 49-0 at halftime. Yeah. Bryce Ullman going off. Their Logan Burris, their running back, was great. Vince Sablatura, their running back, was great. Pitches shutout, all cylinders for Ganado. Here's Refurio, also sitting 11-1. Remember, they have a loss, but it is to Edna, a 3A Division I team, and an undefeated one at that, and. For Refurio, Jordan King, their quarterback, or rather their running back, unbelievable. Unbelievable. It seems like every year they go out there and they find some dude who can tote the rock. He ran for 305 yards and 5 touchdowns last week in their romp over a pretty good Thorndale team. Thorndale's not lunch meat.
No, Thorndale's not a bad football team.
But and they romped them 51-14. And the thing that stands out to me about Refurio is, bro, that defense is on another level right now, okay? If you remove when they played Edna, right, and they lost 42-35 to Edna, if you remove that, that means in their other 11 games, their 11 wins, they have given up 4.9 points per game. Their defense has been relentless. And that makes this really interesting. I picked Ganado before the season. I picked Ganado before the playoffs. And I ain't hopping off. I will say this, though. Revenge is a powerful, powerful agent. Mm-hmm. And you look at what Refurio's cooking with, I am real interested in this ball game. If I think for Ganado, they've got to slow down Jordan King, and they've got to have a balanced attack in this ball game. And I would say they probably need to weather an early storm from Refurio that's been wanting a piece of them for an entire year.
Refurio's had this one circled, yeah.
Yes.
That's why I picked Ganado to win the state championship before the playoffs.
Yeah.
Picked him to win the state championship, picked him in the region. The more I've thought about this, I'm going against my pick here.
Yeah, you're swapping sides.
I think the more I've thought about this, and I think Refurio has that revenge factor going on, and yeah. I think Refurio gets him this year.
I mean, this is it in many ways. Like, I think the winner of this game is at AT&T.
Agree.
I think they're the favorite to come out of the right side of the bracket. Mm-hmm. It is a huge, huge ball game, and it'll be really interesting. That first quarter is going to tell us a lot. If Ganado can hang in, game on. But there's a chance it's like 28-0 at the end of the first quarter because Refurio's just been pissed off for an entire year.
Yeah, and they're just flying high. They're just on an emotional. But that the same token, if they come out with all that emotional juice and it doesn't work,
yep,
the letdown, and it could get ugly the other direction, yep, too. So absolutely. Be fascinating.
Fascinating ball game. Fascinating ball game. What is your fifth and final pick, Matthew?
I'm going to go Saturday, 4 o'clock at the Alamo Dome.
Ooh.
As we've got Corpus Christi Flower Bluff at 11-1.
This is a little hipstery.
A little bit, but I love this game. Taking on, have you heard the good news about the 12-0 San Antonio Southwest Dragons, who are one of the big mystery guests in 5A Division I? They're 12-0, but no one's talking about them.
Post and Southwest. Those are the two most under-the-radar undefeated teams.
Well, let me tell you, all that Alejandro Franco's ball club did last week was go down to Corpus Christi and beat the district champion, Corpus Christi Veterans Memorial Eagles, 30-20. A Veterans Memorial team that a couple of weeks ago beat Flower Bluff in the regular mm-hmm. season. So this is a very good Southwest team. Tyson Dean, their running back, had a great game. 119 yards from offensive scrimmage, 2 rushing touchdowns. Franco's son is the quarterback. So you got a coach's kid at quarterback for Southwest leading the way. You know how dangerous that can be. This is a really good Southwest team. And then you got Flower Bluff, who did one of the most impressive things I've seen all year this year. They go on the road to San Antonio Piper. And let me tell you where San Antonio Piper is located geographically. It's on the west side of San Antonio. So Corpus Christi went all the way through San Antonio, all the way out to Piper, on the road, hostile environment, got up 49-35 with 4 minutes left in the game and blew a 2-touchdown lead, and then had the cojones to win it in overtime. Want to talk about a set, let me tell you. Corpus Christi Flower Bluff scores in overtime after Piper scored in overtime. Flower Bluff scores in overtime, and they elect to go for 2. And if you have not seen the call, the Flower Bluff radio call,
it's
awesome.
It's electric.
it's students on the call, and they are freaking out. It is
great. We played it on TFT. I keep
Did you? Okay.
Referring yeah, to it. I we play on TFT. Play on TFT, and I love it. I love calls where it's clear there's too many people in the booth.
Oh, there's screaming and the hugs and the screaming that was going on in that press
you,
box.
You can't – You. It's just noise. It's a wall of noise.
Yeah, it's great. And then you see a wall of Flower Bluff players coming rushing the field. Jaden Palucio had a monstrous game. 443 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, and just, you know, just – he just had a side of 136 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Just a side piece of
– A sprinkle.
Yeah, just a little bit of, a you know, rushing yards. If you have not watched Cameron Dickerson play wide receiver, Cameron Dixon, the wide receiver at Flower Bluff, he's committed to Vanderbilt, so obviously he's really good and also really smart. But this is he's an SEC football player. It mm-hmm. shows. And he had 197 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. Piper had no answers for him. They just didn't have anyone who could cover him. And that 2-point play, you knew they were going to Dixon. Mm-hmm. Piper knew they were going to Dixon, and they still couldn't stop it. He still got in a 2-point conversion and gave Flower Bluff that win. I think this is going to be a fascinating matchup at the Alamo Dome, 4 o'clock Saturday. It's the only game at the Alamo Dome on Saturday. You get a triple header on Friday night, only one game Saturday, but it's a doozy. I'm fired up to watch this one. I'm going with Flower Bluff. I think the Hornets advance another round. And give South. It's been a good year in South Texas. We can have 2 teams from Corpus Christi city limits in the regional final, and then a third in Senton, who's just outside of Corpus Christi. Big year in the 3-6-1. So mm-hmm. It could be some good times. There's some good football teams down there this year.
I'm on Flower Bluff too, but I think this is a fun matchup, and it would not shock me at all if Southwest won this ball game.
No.
This is a good ball game. So there it is, your regional semifinal draft. I took PNG Texas High, Carthage Pleasant Grove, Willis DeSoto, Franklin Hitchcock, and Ganado Refurio. Step took North Crowley Coppell, Malakoff Jefferson, Katy North Shore, Sulphur Springs Alvarado, and Corpus Christi Flower Bluff, San Antonio Southwest. What a week.
Yeah, it's a man.
What a feast.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'm so ready for Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an all day, just smorgasbord. You get a smorgasbord of food on Thursday and a smorgasbord of football on Friday. I mean,
it's going to be a good time.
It's the perfect weekend. It really is.
It's a great weekend. Where are you going this week, by the way?
So I will, no Thursday games. We haven't won 6-man game on Thursday night, but I'm not.
Do we really?
Yeah, Gordon's playing. Pickle put it in the chat. There's a Thursday night 6-man game. So she put it in the Slack.
I've got that on Friday, but I can check that.
Yeah, she. You know, are you saying Pickle's wrong?
Saying, let me see.
Gordon and Menard. Sure. Gordon and Menard. She says it's Thursday.
Gordon's playing Jonesboro. That was last week. They played him on Thursday.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
Never mind.
Pickle's wrong.
Well, actually, yep. Pickle's wrong, not me.
Yeah.
So
Pickle's always right in my heart.
Is she? That's you're Tep and Step. You're not WTF. You're Tep.
Yeah.
You represent the Tep and Step brand. Friday, I will be in H-Town for the triple header in Houston. What a triple header. We got at 10 a.m. We got 10 a.m. football, Tepper. 10 a.m. Saturday morning, we got Iowa Colony in a surging Fort Bend Marshall squad. And then at 2, the big one, Katy and North Shore. Then at 6, Katy Jordan and Humble Summer Creek. So a great triple header at NRG Stadium. Maybe I'll jump on the call on Texan Live for a game. I haven't decided yet.
We'll see.
And then Saturday at 2 o'clock, I will be in Waller, where what a matchup here. You saw them, the Brenham Cubs.
I did.
Who beat Liberty Hill last week, taking on the most dominant team in Texas high school football right now in Richmond Randall.
Yes.
Who I believe beat Elgin 79-0 last week.
They did. They did. And to your point, are they the most – I can check and see as far as margin of victory is concerned real quick. But if they are not, they are second only to Refurio for margin of victory.
There you go.
I might make the argument that Randall's played a tougher schedule. They're dominant.
Yeah, so that's my – so four games, only one game on Saturday this week. The only place that you can go Saturday if you want to see two games is the DFW area. You can catch – North Crowley and Coppell at 2 and go watch DeSoto Willis at 7 on Saturday. So, or you can tune in to FanDuel Sports. And
they've got the Star has got, because 2 o'clock they've got Ryan and Richland.
Yeah. So you can do that too. So, good solid week. I'll be in Houston this week. So looking forward to it. And then after my game wraps up, I'll be tuning in to FanDuel Sports to watch DeSoto and Willis live from my hotel room.
Thanks, bud. We appreciate it. Let's see what V&A Moreno wrote down in her palatial backyard. V&A Moreno, what'd you write down?
It's dark outside now.
I know. It got dark. Y'all kept it on the rails today.
Thank you.
Kept things on track. Very proud of you guys. We still went about a little over an hour. Texas High is a juggernaut. I think that is what one of the first.
We'll find out this week.
Mm-hmm. The Scott Surratt Revenge Tour rolls on, of course. His Dudes Rock invitation is on the way. Can the rapper Mike Jones be present at the game?
Yeah. If Malakoff makes it back to the title game, we need to call Mike Jones. I know his number.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have
V&A call.
We'll call him live on Tep and Step. In our state championship preview, we'll call Mike Jones.
There you go.
Willis DeSoto game is a matchup that we've had circled since the start of the season. I like that one. Check your watch. It's Franklin o'clock.
It is Franklin o'clock. Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't write down Natchitoches meat pies.
Natchitoches meat
pies. Yeah, meat pies. I did. Yes.
Get your meat pies in Natchitoches.
Get your meat pies in Natchitoches.
Meat pie. What kind of meat pie? Meat pie. Like what kind of meat pie?
Cajun meat pie. I think. I don't know. Gabe Brooks says you got to get them. So if you just Google it, it's all over the internet. So
I trust. I trust Gabe. I trust Gabe Brooks sight unseen. Like what?
I trust Gabe all things Louisiana.
Anything Louisiana, anything deep East Texas, Louisiana, whatever he says goes. Like plain and simple.
I gotta get my hands on one.
There you go. That's gonna do it for us. Thanks for being Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Steph, thanks for your courage.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. We'll talk to you next week for the final game draft. Tap and step.
Bye.